Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you. We have been focusing on the Lords of the Seven Rays, as you know, over these past weeks, as well as other teachings that I've been calling beautiful basics, in that they are such a foundation for what we have currently in the Heart Center and other Ascended Master organizations. It's worth understanding the beautiful organization, planning, purpose of the Universal Great White Brotherhood, and that nothing is given to chance. The magnificence of their plans is beyond our human understanding. It's so wonderful that they do so many things that help us to see the as above, as we live here in the below. The Lords of the Seven Rays equate to the seven notes in our keyboard, 7 days of the week. There's just so much parallelism and analogy and metaphor going on in the way the Ascended Masters teach and help us to understand what is beyond our human understanding. And yet we can understand enough to increase our faith, to help us to see the importance of walking the middle way, which is an integration of so many aspects of our being and the working of the light of God in us. So the Lords of the Seven Rays are such an exciting beginning to getting to know our entire family of God, which is without limit. If ever you feel alone, please remember that you have a family in heaven that is the greatest family you could ever know. Great in character, great in number. You have so much help in heaven. We've met El Moria on the first ray, Lord Lanto on the second, Paul the Venetian on the third. And as I shared with you last time, they ensoul the rays of blue, yellow, pink, which are also the rays of our beautiful divine spark, our threefold flame. These rays are meant to be in balance. They're meant to expand. We've been told that in general, the size of the threefold flame is 1/16 of an inch, in that it has been neglected by the greater part of humanity. And as we are walking our spiritual path, our goal is to enlarge it, for sure, but also to intensify it and to bring balance to these plumes. In most of us, one plume is higher than the other because we have focused in certain areas and past embodiments. Balance is everything, balance in our spiritual path. Well, today when we learn a little bit more about Serapis Bay, we find out that at the base of our threefold flame is this beautiful sphere, pearl-like sphere of the mother light, which is the white light of purity. This is Serapis virtue. This is the virtue of the ray that we are speaking of today. He is the master of purity, harmony, discipline, these aspects of the purity flame. And his retreat is Luxor, Egypt, which is very important to what we'll be talking about today. Luxor, Egypt, and what happens in this retreat. His day is Friday. Every master has a ray. I haven't said too much about that. It's very interesting that, again, the Great White Brotherhood is showing us a sense of balance, and that we focus on these seven rays for the 7 days of the week, so that as we give our prayers, there's a balance in our auras, become this beautiful sphere, much like, again, the sphere of which we call the causal body around our mighty I Am presence, our solar presence in the chart, Buddha nature chart, which is on our homepage, and you can find it in different places on our website. Again, such a foundational graphic for you to meditate upon and get to understand. Well, a couple of things I'd like to share with you before we go on is on our website, there is a meditation to this threefold flame, and you will find it on the menu bar hovering on teachings and blogs. The drop down will show you a choice of meditation Then you go to guided meditation. There are several there, and one of them being the threefold flame meditation. It lasts perhaps 20 minutes, and it's a very comprehensive journey into focusing on your threefold flame and then the remaining chakras, major chakras in your body. The other place on our website I'd like to direct you to, from our menu bar, teachings and blogs to foundational teachings, an article on the threefold flame that I know you'll enjoy and be able to refer to from time to time, as it is so wonderful to remember these basic teachings. Without the divine spark, there is no connection. It is how we connect to our mighty I Am presence, to our holy Christ Buddha self, to all that is the light of God descending and becoming the Holy Spirit once it hits this dimension. That's the Holy Spirit, God in us. So I like to talk about what purity, first of all, is not. It isn't rigidity. It isn't the lack of sense of humor or joy. It isn't attempting to be so humanly perfect that you drive everybody else in your atmosphere totally nuts. It isn't fanaticism. Purity, if I can use the example, is what we see, and we've seen so recently in, as we read about in the Bible, the life of Jesus. Jesus had almost all of his karma balanced. We were told he had just a little bit of karma so he could stay tethered to the earth and not make his ascension too soon. And we read about, even in the Bible, that has such a minuscule amount of what Jesus did and how he was as he walked in Galilee and throughout his area of ministry. He played with the children. He loved the children. He hung out with publicans and sinners, and they were not offended by his light. He had the ability to stay in his purity and yet make everyone feel comfortable. What an example to all of us as we walk this path. The human ego wants to take any little bit of knowledge we have, the fact we may meditate a certain amount of time, and make us feel so good about it that we get a bit prideful. So purity has nothing to do with any kind of spiritual pride at all. Purity is humility. So let's talk about what it is. Oh, my goodness. It's a willingness to be able to observe our thoughts, words, all of our actions, as well as our physical actions, and assess how they affect others, as well as ourselves. It's the ability to hold oneself in a holy perfection, as well as others. Sometimes it's easier to do for others than oneself. We see our faults, especially when we're on the path, and we ask to be shown what it is in us that requires change. And we look at ourselves and sometimes get pretty discouraged, as day by day we may not perfectly outpicture this forgiveness, this magnanimity of heart, many things that we equate with love and expressing that love perfectly to others. So it is a balance again. Here we go back to the middle way. We observe ourselves and how we are behaving. When we see that we're not all that we should be in our estimation, hopefully it is God showing us certain things about us. We are without condemnation of ourselves. We will never be able to not condemn others unless we're at the place where we can accept ourselves and love ourselves where we are, and that we are working and playing toward this point of becoming purer today than we were yesterday. Jesus' teachings say so much about purity's way. In John 13:34 in the New Testament, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Aren't we fortunate that we have Jesus' example and many other masters' example, Gautama Buddha's, as he did so much striving to find how to stop others from suffering. In Matthew 5, 42-48, Jesus says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you." Wow. "Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." How astounding was Jesus' teaching 2,000 years ago. A revolution in consciousness that helps us to see truly our oneness, and that we can't hold a vestige of anything antithetical than forgiveness and love and acceptance of our brothers and sisters, because we're one with them, even as we're one with God. An example for me in my own life of the way of purity and some of the definitions of purity that work for me had to do with my relationship with my beloved, my husband Roy. We've been married for 34 years. In the 10th year of our marriage, I found the teachings of the Ascended Masters. Before that, I'd been as far away from God as I was my entire life because of a series of circumstances. So when Roy married me, I was pretty focused on material happiness and really was kind of at outs with God at that time in my life. When I found the teachings, I was so liberated to have found my relationship with God again, my relationship with Jesus, and then the many brothers and sisters of light in heaven that Jesus introduced me to as I learned more and more about the teachings. And I thought, how is this going to affect my marriage? One of the teachings I'd mentioned before about holding people in perfection, seeing them in their Christhood, forgiving and forgiving again, learning that when we see things in others that really affect us negatively, it is the greatest lesson we could learn. And that is the situation we have to correct. That's how I started looking at Roy. And by God's grace, we've stayed together happily. And I'm not saying that in every situation. Sometimes when we find a spiritual path, there is a parting of the ways with certain friends, even a partner, your marital partner. It is important even then, though, that the parting is magnanimous, and that is there's forgiveness in play. We've learned on this path that we balance karma with certain individuals, and then it is time to part. So it works different ways for different situations. I am very grateful for the path that has helped me in my relationships. Boy, I have a lot of work to do, but I have hope for myself now. I have Serapis Bay to help me. In times when discipline is required, I go to Serapis Bay. Desires to fast, I ask for the love, to love enough to fast for even a day, for a certain cause, for the purity of my own being. Sometimes it'll take a couple of weeks of asking, and then one day I know I can do it. So I'm very grateful for that very practical help that beloved Serapis Bay is for me. Serapis Bay is called a no-nonsense master. His beloved brother in labor, El Moria, describes him as a Spartan, if I ever saw one, whose fiery determination has saved many a soul from the mush of self-indulgence. So Serapis Bay expresses his love in rather usually a stern way. And sometimes that's required of the soul. We've been told that he's immovable in his dedication to purity, to self-discipline. He mentioned to us in the heart stream, and it might have been even before our activity, that he chose the way of purity as the ray he would focus on, in that as an architect and a mathematician, he saw it as the shortest way from point A to point B. And point B, we'll talk about a little bit more a little later on. His retreat, as I mentioned, is in Luxor, Egypt, and it's the retreat of the ascension flame. If ascension is a new term for you, it means briefly here that we finally are released from the rounds of rebirth because we have balanced enough karma, and we have day by day created that energy pattern called the ascension spiral that catapults us, although we've also been told it's just another step, into the heaven worlds, into the etheric octaves, and we don't have to come back into any kind of physical embodiment. We have some choices to make here. However, in most cases, we are there, and then our progress is on the heaven world side, and we continue to accelerate and learn in that beautiful environment. What a wonderful goad for all of us. So the ascension is for everyone. God wants us all back into his heart, wants us to be at that place of where our cycles began, in total integration, in total joy, purity, what we were meant to be from the beginning when God created us. We're coming home. The other side of the balance of that is, even as we're coming home, our job is to bring home here. It's like having a trailer, you know, when you go on vacation, home's with you everywhere. And that is what we're meant to do, so that we're not too otherworldly in this process. Oh my. So on the way home, we bring home here. And beloved Serapis, with all of the other lords of the seven rays and more, help us to do that. If you would like an assessment of how you're doing on this path, how I'm doing on this path, what I do is I evaluate how I treat people during the day. My family, people with whom I work in the Heart Center in different teams, people I talk to on the phone, customer service people from other businesses, a waitress at a restaurant. I evaluate, how did I respect them or not? How was I short-tempered or not? Oh, so many things that come into our purview as we're on this path of purity. Things that have to go sooner or later are our defensiveness, our irritation, our frustration, our lack of patience. And oh my, did we see that come up? At least I do. And I vow every day when I get up to work on this, I ask for all the help that heaven can give me to help me to do better today than I did yesterday. Well, let's take a look at how Serapis worked on this. And this is what's so exciting about learning about the past lives of our different ascended masters. He was embodied, we know, in Atlantis. He was a high priest there. And one significant task that he was given, was because the sinking of Atlantis was imminent, he was asked to move the ascension flame to Luxor, Egypt. And this is significant in that later on, he has many embodiments in Egypt, and now we know that his own retreat is there. One of his most interesting embodiments was Amenhotep III. He was an Egyptian pharaoh. He's also called a divine architect. He was born around 1411 BC, and his great gift was bringing such grace and beauty to the country of Egypt. And his reign actually became known as the reign of peace and abundance. He created great temples and works that gave a knowledge even of the divine workings and the creation of man. One of his temples was created to actually show the functions of the organs and the nervous systems of the body, the skeletal system. And these temples are in Luxor on the Nile, and some are in Nubia. He had a son, Akhenaten, whom we know about, who continued this development of the culture of Egypt. And Akhenaten was known for creating an understanding of the oneness of God. Even though the Egyptians had many gods, his understanding was that we worship the sun as the one God and understand that sometimes these different gods are facets of the one. So it was a great teaching that he learned from his own father. Another exciting embodiment of Serapis was King Leonidas of Sparta. Again, we see his dedication to self-discipline in this embodiment. Born around 540 BC, what he is known for throughout the ages and by historians is his courage displayed in the Battle of Thermopylae. This happened in 480 BC. There were 190,000 Persians attacking Greece. King Leonidas stood with 300 of his own bodyguards and 5,000 Greek soldiers. The odds were 40 to 1. Things did not go well, and Leonidas found himself trapped. Before he died, and all of the soldiers that were with him died, they slew 20,000 of the 190,000 Persians. So you can see in that one act that his desire to do the right thing, no matter what, including the giving of his own life, was of no matter to this Spartan, as he was called by El Moria. So the Theosophists believe that he had one more embodiment after that is Phidias, and then who was a great Greek sculptor, and then made his ascension. One thing that's interesting also about Serapis is about 100 years later, priests in Egypt were starting to feel conversation or communication from someone they were calling Serapis. And he became a very important god in Egyptian cosmology and also Greek cosmology. And he had 42 temples in Egypt alone, and some of his followers even extended to Asia Minor and Italy. And it kind of reminded me of our relationship with the ascended masters now. Certainly the being now ascended of Serapis Bey was communing with his own. And I believe that what they are referring to as their Egyptian god named Serapis was truly the great light of Serapis Bey continuing to work one-on-one in some cases with his priests and his disciples during this time. So the ascension. The ascension is such a wonderful thing to aspire to. And it, as I mentioned before, it is something that happens moment by moment, not all at once. We do work at it over our different lifetimes. And Serapis Bey teaches us quite a bit about it in his Heart Streams. Some of the things that we know about the ascension is that even after we ascend, we continue to develop and work and learn. And we can ascend from many different retreats that are all over the world, Ascended Master Retreats. The Ascension Temple is a very unique one and a very important one to the Ascended Masters, though. Before my time is up, I would like to share with you from our prayer book one of the prayers that can help us day by day work at this process of cleaning ourselves up, walking this purity, joy way in balance that is a tremendous help to any of us. On the purity ray, along with this Lord Serapis Bey, there are archangels, Gabriel and Hope. There are Elohim, Purity and Astraea. And this is a specific prayer to the Elohim Astraea with her twin flame Purity, 10.009. And I would like to read this prayer through once so that you may hear the words that we invoke. Can we just from our hearts say, oh, beloved Serapis, help me to be pure? Yes, we can. Or Astraea, help me this day to know purity. The ascended masters give us prayers so that we can continue the action of light as we repeat these prayers rhythmically, always doing this, not from any mental practice, but from our hearts. And this is called the science of invocation that is very unique to many schools of teaching through the teachings of the ascended masters. It was used in Atlantis, and I'd like to give you a sense of what these prayers are like as I give it to you now. And we do call to you, Serapis, we call to you, beloved mighty Astraea and purity, to continue the work of cleaning us up so that we can make life more beautiful for others and ourselves. O beloved Astraea and purity, glorify God for all to see. Sacred circle of diamond blue, manifest now through and through. Answer now our fervent call. Blaze your circle round us all. Circle and sword of diamond blue, laser light now shine right through. Elohim bright, descend right here. Beautiful angels now appear. Into the light of infinite love, now we ascend legions above. In the third verse, circle and sword of Astraea now shine. Purity's light our world refine. Radiant golden age right here. Patterns of perfect love appear. Patterns of perfect love appear. How beautiful. That is purity. Patterns of perfect love. And when we give these prayers, we like a song, we go back to the chorus after each verse. And they gain a cadence, a rhythm, which accelerates, much like soldiers marching or in singing. We know how this feels. The other thing about the way we give these prayers is that they do take on an acceleration that should be very Holy Spirit in it, not a human acceleration, but you can feel it. And sometimes when you give these prayers, you'll feel your voice, the key that you're on, go up a little bit. So experimenting with the prayers is really a marvelous experience and adding to your repertoire of all the ways that you work on spirituality. We have in our HeartStreams database 26 HeartStreams of Serapis Bay through our messenger David C. Lewis. One of my favorite ones is from March 25th, 2011. And the title is Acceleration is the Key to Your Ascension. Consider the Timetable of Your Life. And in this heart stream, Serapis Bay talks about accessing the mother light that is within us, that mother principle that we talked about before as being at the base of our threefold flame and the base chakra of our seven major chakras. He tells us to reflect on the teachings that came from a previous activity in a marvelous book called The Dossier on the Ascension, which goes into great detail regarding the path of purity and what happens at Luxor when those individuals go there, souls go there to ascend from that place. He tells us in this heart stream to create a dream. That one thing that you desire to do with your life, your purpose, know what it is and achieve it. Be more than a dreamer, he says. Act. Be a doer. So it's important. Again, we see the balance. We dream, we receive our visions, our inspirations, and then we vow to carry them out in practical ways to help ourselves and to help our brothers and sisters in this life. So I'll close by reading one section of this beautiful heart stream. Yes, blessed ones, acceleration is the key to your ascension. At various times within your life, having reached a plateau of consciousness, there must be a new reinvestment of light from within that propels you, impels you, unto your ultimate destiny, blessed ones. Consider the timetable of your life in this hour, what you have set forth to accomplish, and determine with a new reawakening within you that you will meet your destiny. You will fulfill the requirements of the ascension, and you will attend to the details of life in every situation that requires your full attention, your God determination, and your love to move your soul higher in its trajectory toward your final destiny as ascension being within this sphere of life. Not every thought process will come to fruition unless there be the full investment of your total selfhood within it by laying out a plan of action that is practical, that utilizes the resources of the spirit and of the flesh with specificity. Serapis Bey is a very practical master. So thank you for meeting Serapis today. Thank you for your time. Until we meet again, God bless you in the light of purity.